And I don't need no hook for this shit. OT10, the Rose Podcast Suburb, live on Patreon, official patreon.com/officialTRPE. We are here once again.
Umar might win an Emmy for this.
Man, listen, Umar was cooking, man. Umar had to walk out with the grease, the flame going. Umar was going crazy on the Breakfast Club, man.
Flinging salt. He was doing everything.
He had the salt bay, everything. For those of you that that haven't seen it yet, Dr. Umar Johnson was on the Breakfast Club this morning. It was his fifth appearance on the Breakfast Club. And
no, yesterday morning.
Well, it was yesterday. Today.
This comes out tomorrow. You said he was on...
Oh, yeah, he's on, for recording purposes, yeah. He was on yesterday morning. Hopefully, y'all got a chance to catch up to that, and there's already clips floating around the internet now that, you know, that I knew. Like, I'm watching an interview this morning, like, all right, that's going to be a clip. That's going to be, like, you could just kind of, at this point, you could tell what's, you know, digestible for the internet and what the internet is going to eat up. And, you know, Umar was spitting hot fire, man. He was like Method Man in 94, yo. He was going crazy.
Dylon on Making a Man, nigga.
He was going out, man. And, you know, he talked about a lot of different issues that, you know, are prevalent in society today. Me, Matt, and Ra, who's the ghost third member of TRPE, did our original logo, has been on the show several times and a contributing editor to the show. He, you know, we were all collectively talking about, you know, how did Asian people jump over blacks in the hierarchy,
yeah,
of like civil rights importance?
I remember Patrice O'Neal, rest in peace. He had a bit. It's actually on iTunes.
Okay.
Where he was doing, you know how like, comedians will have comedy albums.
Yes.
One of his joints is on Apple Music, iTunes, and he was basically saying how white people and black people are the only things that matter. And then everybody else kind of falls in line.
Absolutely.
And he was like, Asian chose white. Like, they chose to be over there. And Latinos chose black. And he was like, the only reason Latinos chose black is because they want the number one oppressed spot. But you can't have it, motherfucker. And it's crazy because, like, when you look at these civil rights things, any, like, it's always white, and then it's this, that, yeah, and the third. Black, yeah, Latino, gay, lesbian, Asian, Samoan,
right,
dog. Yeah, it's just all these things that fall under being white. And every now and then, they all get a chance to be like, this is our struggle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Trans and gays have their moment to be like, this is our struggle. You know, Asians have their moment. Dogs show you the commercial where they crying and they cold and, you know, we fucked up. Right. We need, you know, like, it just, everybody has a struggle under being white. And it be blowing my mind at times at how we try to, like, equate the struggles of these other cat, trans, Asian, mm-hmm, to black people, and it's like,
yeah, they've been competing. Nah. They've been silently or outwardly trying to compete, nah, with us for the number one most oppressed and downtrodden spot and abused and abused spot for 30 years now.
Black people built the highways.
Literally.
They built the railroad tracks. Like, they built the country. And not because they wanted to.
Yeah.
Paul Mooney says this, said it all the time. Black people were forced to come here and work for free. The Latinos chose to come here and work at the entrance to the freeway. That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You know, and it's the truth. It's like that shit went on for hundreds of years. Yeah. So when you see these great white families and these great white things, it's like, you know, they was built off of slavery.
Absolutely.
And owning black folks. Like the hands of these. Yeah. Paul Mooney, one of his joints, said, what's the white woman they told y'all made the flag? What's her name?
Oh, Betsy Ross.
And that's what he was like, the people with Betsy Ross, that bitch ain't make that flag. Are you crazy? And because he was talking about how he always stands for the flag when the Colin Kaepernick shit was going, yeah, on, and people were like starting to boo. It was, no, I always stand for the flag. I don't ever kneel or sit down for that flag. He's like, because I know what's up with the flag. Betsy Ross ain't make that shit. He was like, her family owned slaves. Sewing was slave work. Bullshit. If you think that bitch should.
Hey, nigga, put some more stripes on that joint.
He said, Betsy, he was like, her day, it wasn't no love in hip hop on her. They got into bed at 7. He said, slaves was up all night sewing and cooking and cleaning. And she woke up in the morning, the slave, some old big fat Aunt Jemima was like, oh, child, I've been up all night sewing. I've been up so late, honey, I see stars. He said, Betsy said, bitch, put him in the flag and fry me up some chicken. And it's like, yo, it's the truth. It's like, none of these things happen without black people. Thank and you. Black people got none of the credit, none of the money, none of anything that goes with it. Even down to our historic figures as absolutely. Black people, they like Cleopatra. When you watch movies with Cleopatra,
it's a white woman.
It's a white lady. Claudette
Colbert. Like, it's the Mediterranean, yeah, with black people.
Claudette Colbert was Cleopatra. Elizabeth Taylor was Cleopatra. And Angelina Jolie had signed on to be Cleopatra, and it didn't go through. But it's yeah, just
they,
like...
They petitioned the shit out of
like,
that.
Like, these are white women.
Yeah.
Like, Cleopatra's black, bro. Like, even our great shit, they be like, wait, this was great? Nah, this was... Oh, no, man. We got to tell them it was white.
That shit ain't that far from Mesopotamia.
Yeah. That's why I can't even really get down with the slave movies anymore. It's like, every time there's a slave movie, there's always a white person who... When you look at Rosewood, John Voight as Mr. Man, mm-hmm. that freedom, the whatever the fuck the Jonas with Matthew McConaughey. It's like, what the fuck is there? Just this random white guy leading these slaves out. It just, it'd be crazy. Yeah. Like, it's just the way it goes. So you look at years, hundreds of years of this went on to where now you look up and Umar was right. Yeah. The Asian situation went on since last March. And it didn't even really get cracking until like July when motherfuckers was realizing like, man, I can't go to no hookah spots. I hate these Asians. Like, motherfuckers. That's where it started.
But do you notice that the commonality in a lot of these hate crime bills is to address a minority of a minority of black males committing these acts? Like that, at the heart of the legislation is basically say, yo, if you 17-year-old black niggas hit one more Asian man with a fucking sushi cart, y'all going to jail for life. It's always like when they writing this legislation, they make the exception the rule. You got black people that are being murdered by police at a disproportionate rate. You have black people that have that lack access to resources at a disproportionate rate per their status in the right. population. But it's like, this is important. Like, this shit won at a vote of 96-1.
Dog. On the first go round.
On the first go round. All people, and Umar was saying this, all they do in the Senate and Congress and all that is filibuster shit to death.
They straight made y'all wait months and many go rounds to, like, give y'all money to eat.
Fact.
You know what I'm saying?
And then said, don't spend it all in one
and
place.
And they said, we hope y'all still go to work.
With this $1,400. But that's because they know what's not publicized, which is that 50% of the average Americans don't have a spare $250.
Crazy.
Like, so motherfuckers is like, literally, like, looking at the statistics, like, all right, Section 8, below the poverty level, this and this. Oh, man, you can't get these motherfuckers $1,400. They'll never go back to work. Yeah. They really looking at it like that. And it's like, here's how they think about you. And that goes for poor white people, too. And, like, when you look at, like, a movie like Judas and the Black Messiah, some of the imagery in there that's important is the fact that poor people should be united regardless
right.
of color.
Right.
Because the government don't give a fuck about you neither.
No. And I used to say that shit with the whole Trump situation. Like, Trump riled up all these poor white people that he hates.
That he don't give a fuck
he
about.
He don't give a flying fuck about you.
He would literally
you.
Piss on y'all.
Yeah.
So it's like, people will choose their, and Patrice O'Neill's talking about, you choose your whiteness over your poorness.
Over poorness.
When your poorness is more of your identity than your whiteness.
Right.
But because you're white, you feel like I can overcome being poor at some point.
I remember Chris Rock in one of his shows, he asked a white guy in the crowd, was like, you know how good it is to be white? And he's like, no, he's like, would you change lives with me? And the guy was like, no, he's like, of course not. You're white.
You're white.
He won't change places with me, and I'm rich. Like, yeah, real shit. Like, I'm going to ride this white thing out.
Figure it out.
See how far this goes.
Because you know, like, it's like we talked about, like, Horny Mike and shit like that. It's like, you literally know, and especially with COVID now, you can be whatever the fuck you want to be. You can come up with any product, any service. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm waxing dogs and I'm making platters at your crib. And if people are like, oh, yeah, I'll buy it. Like, I'll sign up for that subscription service. Like, I'll come to your house, clean your dog, clean your car, and make you some food. All right, bet. Sign me up.
Real shit.
Like, people will pay for anything now.
Like being white.
It's the greatest shit of all time.
You might not have much swag. But, you know, that's
You have a sauceless existence for the most part. Yeah. Now, there's a few that cut through. Justin Timberlake, Matthew McConaughey,
Taylor,
Leonardo DiCaprio. People like that'll cut through. But that's the minority of majority.
The big boy that lost all the weight. From
Jonah Hill.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you get an Adidas deal here and there. But for the most part, you'll live a sauceless, swagless existence.
You got to put on socks with the little three-strap sandals when you go on vacation.
Sperry boat shoes and shit. Yeah, but it's
fanny packs.
But in general, your quality of life is great to where shit that the average human, black, white, or other worries about, they don't even think about it. Like, especially if to be a white male.
Yeah.
And we've reached a point in society where white men have had it so good for so long, even white women are tired of them.
Yo. Yeah.
You're oppressing us. We had enough of this shit.
How crazy is it?
White women are the most protected group of the population alive, and even they're tired of white men.
I watched a video with the, it's a TV show called I Survived a Crime.
Okay, I've heard of it. I haven't ever seen
this,
it.
It's like Cork Ham and all them Jones. But the white boy got pulled over. And he drugged the cop. Like, the cop came, he drugged this motherfucker out the window down the street. And they finally caught up to him and they gave him the stop or whatever. He's like, why the fuck would you keep going with a cop? He's like, listen, I'm having a bad day. Like, yo. White man can drag a police officer down the street.
They want to know why.
And then tell the cops, I'm having a bad day, goddammit.
The whole fact of you committed the act. They still wanted to know why. And then you were allowed to bark on them as if you did not fuck up.
And tell them why.
This shit ain't going that good today, man. Fucking my dog got spaded.
Dog got worms. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I ain't time for this shit. My barbecue grill is down. They out of propane for a 10-mile radius.
I've seen white people say and do just about anything.
Man, my favorite white people moment of the last 20 years, white boy was swinging a knife like Ninja Gaiden at the police.
Oh, yeah, I seen that.
For like 37 minutes before they finally got tired of it and was like, we're going to kill this motherfucker. Like,
I think they hit him with beanbags. Did they kill him? I felt like they beanbagged him.
Whatever. Okay, so I'm mixing up two moments. There was another one where a guy in like Newark, New Jersey had a gun and he was pointing at the cop. They had a Mexican standoff for like 22 minutes and then they killed him. But yeah, the other guy, they hit him with beanbags.
Yeah,
but he was swinging this shit.
I've seen that shit. But yeah, that's really how it go. So it's like to look up and see this Asian hate bill get passed the first go round.
When people that work with the law and law enforcement told me on social media, you cannot create legislation for a specific ethnic group.
How about it?
Fuck y'all.
How about it? I seen them tweets.
Y'all are assholes.
Yeah.
And I want my apology on social media.
Yeah.
Literally told me this. What the problem is. And y'all are dickheads and assholes for fucking stunting on Ice Cube like y'all did. Oh, why he want to talk to Trump and da 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 and this nigga cooning and buffooning. Y'all made Trump, and Dr. Umar said the same thing. Y'all made Trump a symbol for all the racism in America when he's just one man. Trump in or out of office, you still going to get your racism, but y'all want racism behind y'all back and in y'all policy as opposed to in your face.
Yeah.
And now this is what the fuck you get. The fucking Emmett Till Lynching Act has come to the Congress floor and the Senate floor how many times?
Like 40.
That shit still ain't passed.
No.
Still ain't passed. Two or three Asians get knocked upside the head. Stop Asian hate bill. Excuse me?
I thought it was wild. Just the fact that they even had like NBA players like Damian Lillard and all them running around with shirts on that says stop Asian hate. And it's just like,
because they got that Chinese money in the NBA. Y'all gonna get behind this cause and you gonna like it.
Yeah.
And you gonna support it, motherfucker.
Or we gonna send you to the NBDL. Yeah. Did you see the bull from Ohio that said he's not playing no more games from the NBA? Did you see that shit?
No.
Boy, he owned a big bar, a sport bar in was it Columbus or Cleveland?
Columbus,
Ohio. Did you see LeBron last week posted a picture of the cop boy who shot the girl, Makai Bryant? Yeah. LeBron posted it and with the caption, "You're next." and he took it down. But, you know, cops was like, oh, he's threatening to put a threat on this guy's life. And so the bar in Columbus, Ohio, said, if you want to watch NBA games, don't come here. We're not playing any NBA game until LeBron is expelled from the NBA. So people in the comments like, damn, so y'all just done playing games
over forever.
So we just done going there. All right, cool.
You know, such and such got a little burger special. They got nice patty melt. We
you know,
go over
you,
there.
You know, Applebee's will put the game
fucking idiot.
But yeah, they said they're not playing any NBA games until LeBron
talk
is
about
expelled.
Out kicking your coverage.
But it's like, yeah, I'm just like, damn, y'all just done with it. Just take the TVs down.
LeBron's got at least 5 more years of high level basketball.
I'm like, bro, I could see if y'all tried that shit with like
Speedy Claxton.
I was gonna say Wally Szczerbiak, somebody, you know, somebody who we could do without. Yeah. But LeBron,
till Todd McCullough is out this motherfucker, until y'all get the Big Mac out of the lineup.
The Big Mac.
This shit is over. They pick LeBron James, man. That's a crazy hill
the
to die
on. The face of the NBA, real shit.
For 20 years. Yeah, no, this nigga's gotta go.
Do you know what Todd McCullough's doing now?
What is he doing?
He's like a pinball champion.
White people.
Am I making that up?
White people could do anything.
Yo.
Like pinball champion.
They were showing how the national pinball championship shit. It was on ESPN. And they were showing all the pinball machines. And like everybody at the pinball machine is like 5'6" and dorky. This motherfucker 7'2" just get it on the pinball. I'm like, yo, Todd McCullough crazy as shit.
The fucking Big Mac.
Big Mac. He a championship pinball player.
Yeah, you gotta play Big Mac in the championship round.
On the Star Wars jump. You gotta get the ball in Darth Vader mouth.
R2-D2's revenge.
Yeah, yeah. Todd McCullough, championship pinball player.
That's nuts, man. Yeah.
But no, real shit. It's like when I saw Damian Lillard with the shirt on, I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, y'all black.
Yeah.
Y'all have gone through hate yourselves. What the fuck are you talking about?
For sure.
And it is not saying, I feel like there shouldn't be any hate for anyone.
Exactly.
But
we should have a priority list of overall in this country. And the whole thing is that the white population is shrinking in mass.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Right.
They've gone from being 80% of the population to about roughly about 60 now. Yeah. And because of that,
I want to say Latinos are more than blacks.
They are.
Yeah.
So now you have a situation where in order to protect the wealth base, you have to protect other groups that assimilate to white culture.
Right.
Asians, as far as like their politics, very conservative.
Right.
In terms of the family structure, very conservative. They value higher education, very conservative. Right. Like they push their children.
Asians chose white, in the words of Patrice.
They chose white. So it's like, all right, niggas tripping. Oh, niggas diss on y'all? Oh, man. This shit getting passed today, motherfucker.
Like, I think it's insane that Joe Biden and me and you have, we did this with Morgan Cephas, we did with, and
Councilman Curtis
Councilman Jones.
Jones.
Like, black people have this blind trust in the Democratic Party.
It's like, whatever you selling, we buying it.
And I think it's kind of, at best, disingenuous, at worst, downright deceitful and treacherous.
And harmful.
That Joe Biden went out and went on a very, very popular black culture platform in the Breakfast Club.
One of the biggest ones.
And hauled off and said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
If you black and you don't vote for old Joe, you ain't black.
You don't vote for crazy Joe, you ain't black.
Have you noticed that he played the crazy Joe routine all the way into the White House, and now he's very lucid and he just know exactly what he's doing.
Duh.
And it's all these executive orders getting passed and so all his legislation.
My second part to that was the fact that you went out and did that on the Breakfast Club. And then the first day of your presidency, you signed a transgender protection executive order. And then that was it.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you signed the executive order to stop the building of the wall. And then the next day, you signed another. He signed like 14 executive orders in like the first 3 to 4 days. And it's just like none of them had anything to do with African Americans or black. It just
because
nothing.
You're not allowed to write legislation that protects one ethnic group or another.
It was a lot of air quotes.
Bullshit.
Right.
It's all bullshit. Like, but that's what they tell us when we start thinking outside the box and asking the important questions that matter. That's the spiel that they run us, because at some point, the person that told me that shit, somebody in power told them that bullshit.
Right.
And they didn't cross-check it or fact-check it, and then they spit it back to me as fact when we've been shown otherwise.
Right. Yeah, it's a dirty game. What Future say? It's the evil world we live in. Like,
for sure.
Like, yeah, man, that shit is crazy. So just watching that is just like, damn, y'all signed that act already? Like, first John, first go-round, that shit is done, signed, sealed, and delivered? Like, if you do anything to somebody Asian, you going to jail forever?
At a 98% success rate.
Yeah.
Nobody's even like, oh no, I don't. Like, one person is just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Crazy.
So it's that sort of thing. And it's just like, you know, black. And the older I get, and you probably gonna agree with me, the older I get, the more conservative I've been becoming.
I was saying how the other day, I was saying this to myself, the older I get, the more I question everything.
Oh, I listen. Conspiracy theory bull.
Like, there's literally nothing that happens that I'm not like, the man is that the way. Well, yeah, like, I be that for a lot.
It's like that meme that been circulating on Twitter on the Simpsons with the bull in the shadows.
Yeah,
it's always a bull in the shadows pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Like, people have to understand that there is divine intervention that takes place in certain instances, but for the most part, there are no coincidences in life, especially not what gets presented to you in the media and on the news. Like, you think like, oh, these two things happen at the same time are not interrelated. And it's like the whole time that they were. And the problem with being like a conspiracy theorist is you could find a conspiracy theory in anything. So it's easy for people to dismiss you and be like, oh, man, that's some bullshit, because you said that about the last 19 things. And it's just like,
this is me. This is just how my brain works at times. Right. So you look at like a police department, right?
Yeah.
A police department has a homicide division. Homicide divisions solve and try to figure out homicides that take place.
And these are the best and brightest cops in the world.
If no one kills anyone today, what does the homicide division do? If no one kills anyone tomorrow, what does the homicide division do? Let's say that for all of y'all, like, we need to end the violence in Philadelphia. Let's say the violence ceases tomorrow and no one else gets killed in Philadelphia.
Right.
What does the homicide division do? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I remember watching a guy speak on this back in the day. It was like, they're not trying to end homicides. They're not trying to end drug dealing.
Yeah.
They're not trying to end sex slavery and fucking smuggling of people.
Right, right, right.
They're not trying to end any of this shit, because if you end it, we don't need a homicide division. We don't need coroners.
Yeah, we don't need robbery homicide. We don't need the coroners. We don't need the medical examiner. We don't need
Caution tape.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
economic implications
to everything. So when you see shit like this, and it's just like, knowing what you know about the Contras in Nicaragua, right? And Oliver North and everything
like
that happened. Yeah, knowing that.
Oliver North, aside from the Iran Contra shit, Oliver North went on TV in the 90s and said, yeah, I know y'all worried about Saddam Hussein, but this Osama bin Laden character that we've been supporting for years, he's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, man, shut the fuck up. Like, and then years later, he's public enemy number one. So it's like, even the people in position of power with access to information we don't have get called crazy when they jump outside the box and speak on some shit that the status quo doesn't want you talking about.
Literally, there's so many people that come to me and be like, yo, you put me on a Paul Mooney, man. I'd be like, dog, he the best. Like, when it comes to that comedy and talking that real shit, he was talking about George Bush. He was like, I don't trust Bush as far as I could throw him. Him and his daddy. Both of them running around talking about, oh, they got weapons of mass destruction. They got weapons of mass destruction. We're sure of it. They got weapons of mass destruction. He was like, yeah, y'all sure of it. Y'all got the receipt.
Y'all sold it to him.
No shit, y'all sure. And it's just like, yeah, like, watching shit like that. Just the fact of, like, the drugs coming into the inner city. If you watch New Jack City, Nino Brown at the end, there's not a poppy field in Harlem.
Yeah.
None of that shit is close to us. Them drugs got to go on in boats, on in planes. They got to get flown over or float over. Then they get here, they got to come all the way through the pipeline to get to 125th Street.
Yeah.
We don't go get this shit.
Yeah.
I never had a car, but I wound up with heroin in my hand to sell Think about that.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't drive to go get this shit. This shit fell on me. Uh-huh. So what happened is they put these drugs out here. They fall in the hood. Niggas like, what the fuck is this? Oh, shit, it's coke.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell this shit. Then you go sell it, and then they turn back around with mandatory minimums and a crime bill that sends you to jail forever and fucks up the family.
Because you go work for 30 years, and we earn an average of $30,000 to $60,000 a year on your free labor. You make 12 cents an hour. You could barely fucking send your daughter a birthday card at home while you off doing this 30 years. But we turn around and make $1 million off of you off of your 30-year sentence.
And we send you to coke. We send you to crack. We send you to heroin. You go sell the shit. We write a crime bill, Crazy Joe. And that's the crazy part, that Clinton got, like, the crime bill thrown on him when Joe wrote most of the legislation. Joe wrote most of the legislation in the motherfucker. It's just crazy.
And you know what people told me when I brought that up during this presidential cycle? Well, you know, so people are just, they just don't never change, and you got to give it. No, I don't have to give it a shot. No. I know what this is.
No.
I said, and y'all crazy motherfuckers are so dumb and just beholden to the Democratic Party. Y'all signing up to send y'all nephews and sons to fucking jail for 30 years again for smoking weed on the porch or some shit. The main issue right now, as far as like public policy goes, that people are legislating for and talking about is what? Marijuana reform. We right. need federal marijuana reform. And Joe Biden's like, yeah, I'm not even looking at that shit.
Kamala straight was like,
he's still calling it a gateway drug.
A gateway.
In 2021, yeah. With all the information we have, where we've had Harvard studies that prove that crack cocaine and powder cocaine are no more harmful than one another, yeah. And you calling marijuana a gateway drug, yeah. Even though it's fixed Colorado, California, soon to be Oklahoma, Maryland, their tax deficits, their school problems, yeah. Their fucking community issues, all crime everywhere is down because of what? Legal fucking marijuana. Yeah. And this is a gateway drug.
Oh, Kamala Street was like, oh, yeah, ain't no problem with weed. And it's just like, sis, you locked up half the damn California. Like, what?
Locked up 12,000 people for marijuana offenses, like, in a state where marijuana is the gross domestic product.
Crazy.
How? That's like if you were selling carrots.
I'm trying to get some understanding, man.
That's like if you were selling carrots in the number one state where carrots is they export. Ah. And I pull up on you like, man, I'm so here, you selling these carrots.
Yo, real come with shit. Me.
Like, no, this shit legal. Yeah, but yo. But yours not.
Yeah.
No, you missed a piece of paperwork. Come with me.
You going to jail for 26 years for selling weed. The weed's legal
it's
here.
It's legal here.
Not for you. Ma'am. Ma'am. That's real shit.
This is America.
This is America, Jack. Yeah. Crazy.
So it's like, it's easy to go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole on anything, but so much of the shit that people went down rabbit holes on before was proved to be true. Yeah. Yes, aliens exist. Yes, UFOs exist. Yes, we fucking put cocaine in the South Central Los Angeles to fund a fucking war, which turned into Cincinnati, Ohio, which turned into Detroit, Michigan, which turned into New York City, yeah. Minneapolis, which turned into all of these fucking places, which turned Chicago into a dope hub, the number one dope hub in America,
yeah.
For cocaine, marijuana, and heroin distribution. Chicago was the number one hub because it's central. You can get there from fucking Canada. You can get there from Mexico. It's right in the middle of the fucking map.
Right.
You can get there from Texas in like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's nuts.
It's wild.
And every time somebody be like, hey, man, that shit look like y'all on some bullshit. Shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
Throw you off a bridge. Say you smoke like Dave Chappelle. Say you on crack.
I mean, the reality of it is, like we talked about it with BF, motherfuckers miss the mark every now and then. Dr. Umar will miss the mark. Yeah. You know, the nigga hold off and said they killed Kobe over some energy drinks. All right, bro. You didn't miss the mark. You know what I'm saying? It happens. The marks get missed. But when you make sense, that'd be the problem with missing the mark, is that the next time when you don't miss the mark, motherfuckers is like, nah, you missed the mark.
You a crazy kook.
Yeah, you missed
the
mark.
They can just write you off.
Right.
But so people that should get the information miss it because people of influence and affluence have already said, oh, that's a crack. Don't listen to that crazy motherfucker. Right. But even a broken clock is right 2 times a day.
Right.
So it's one of them situations where it's like, I don't give a fuck where some good information is coming from. If it's good information, it's good information. And that be the problem. People just, you know, they want to listen to people that they like, admire, and respect. As opposed to who the fuck got the shit I need to hear.
Right.
Not what I want to hear.
Right. Excuse me.
And people are, it's hard for people to differentiate between the two. Yeah. But this Stop Asian Hate shit, this shit blew my mind. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, wait, how did like this, because once it really started trending and being a thing, I'm like, how did this happen? Like, slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow South, Civil Rights Act of 1964, literally affirmative action 1992. It's nothing since.
It's crazy when you really think about it. Like, when you break down all of those things, like I said, under white, everyone has gotten some sort of like revelation to their being or culture. Yeah.
Each their being got substantiated with something.
Something. The Jews got reparations.
The Jews full got reparations on. Multiple times.
Yeah, full on.
Germany just paid out some more reparations not too long ago.
Did you notice when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed downtown at the Jewish museum on Fifth and Market? I guess I just never really paid attention that that's the Jewish museum. I drive past it all the time. Yeah. But it's huge. Yeah. It's this huge, big ass, and I'm just like, the African American Museum, it literally looks like, remember the hut on Greenway? That's how it looks over on like 8th and Arch.
Catty corner.
7th and Arch. Yeah. And I'm just like, the Jewish Museum is so grand and big. And the African American Museum is like a small, and it's just, that's kind of how it is, just like in everything.
Yeah.
Like, the African American, all of that shit just kind of is like, if you want to learn it, you know, it's over here.
It's here. If not, then like, whatever.
And that's how education is, textbooks, all of that shit. The textbook is this big. When it's Black History Month and y'all go to that little slither of fucking pages.
The pamphlet.
Yeah.
Shit is a pamphlet.
And it's all about Martin Luther King and Jackie Robinson. You might get a paragraph on Reggie White. You know what I'm saying? Like some random.
The Deacon of Defense.
The Ministry of Defense. The Deacon of Defense. Yeah, but like real shit. You'll get like a random little footnote of like, you know, Marvin Hagler. You know what I'm saying? And Tommy Ernst. Like, it's just crazy.
And here's Sugar Ray Leonard with a jerry curl.
Yeah. Sugar Ray Robinson bought his own freedom and fought 127 fights and shit.
Jack Johnson used to beat up white men and fuck their wives.
Yo.
He was later lynched.
Yeah.
Like some shit like that.
It's just crazy. Like, when you look at the way we're taught, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris Rock said that shit. Like, yo, back in the day in school, it was like everything was Martin Luther King. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, who was the first black guy to die in the Civil Rights War? I mean, in the Civil War. Like, Martin Luther King. Never mind the fact that was the 1800s. Yeah, Martin Luther King. He's like, who was the guy who, you know, was the first black man to win a heavyweight championship? He's like, Martin Luther King. So who was the woman that would not give up her seat on the bus? He was like, y'all sure it's a woman? Like, dog, that's just how you
and
talk.
And then the whole thing is, it's like, the mainstream media has propagandized Martin Luther King so much for the simple fact of, now you got to ask the question, why? Because he was nonviolent.
Uh-huh.
Because they had shit on him. He was a womanizer, cheating on his wife, all this old shit. So they had blackmail on him, and they killed him. So it's like, they're latently, like subtly telling you, you could be nonviolent, non-confrontational, and still get your motherfucking brains blown out.
Still get your issue.
Because
We said so.
Just because. We tired of your shit. It's too much. And then we gonna pass some bullshit legislation that only affects 8% of the population, and then half the other 8% of black people not even gonna know the shit exists.
People came in.
Yeah, not even gonna know the shit exists, and you may or may not benefit from it. But if you still in the Jim Crow South, they're acting like this shit didn't even happen.
Yeah.
And you bet not say nothing.
Yeah.
Like watching the series Them, I don't know if you've gotten into it yet.
They
moved from North Carolina, from the Jim Crow South in like
Cali.
1953 to Cali. And guess what? Cali was worse.
Yeah.
It was worse. And you think of progressive California and all that shit. Man, that shit is from the 1970s forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got all that fucking blood on their hands from all the bullshit they did prior to
that. It's a video that circulates every now and then. It's from the 70s. I want to say like 1974.
Okay.
But a black family moved to Long Island in New York.
I can only imagine what that was like.
You ever seen that? And they moved to Long Island. It was either Long Island or Far Rockaway. It was somewhere in New York.
Yeah. Somewhere they ain't had no business being.
And literally all the kids, all of that, cursing at them and calling them names. And this shit is just, like, the video ain't in black and white.
Right.
Like, this shit ain't color because it wasn't that long
shit,
ago.
Move to 10th and Wolf tomorrow and see what the fuck happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember talking to a girl years ago that was half black, half Italian. I dead ass had to meet her on Snyder.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
exaggerating. Neutral location.
Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah. She's like, I'll meet you on Bro and Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lived off of Shunk.
Yeah.
I forgot
what
it was.
Go to 8th and Shunk tomorrow and buy a house.
And she was dead ass like.
See what the fuck
happened. She was cool or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, I just don't want them to be like, you know, whatever, whatever. So she's like, I'll just meet. She met me at Bro and Snyder every time I would meet her. And just like, yeah.
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 And the crazy thing is, Italian Sicilians have black blood in them.
They're the same.
And they chose white.
They're the same. old Italian white men and young black niggas are the same people.
Yes. They culturally,
both,
everything.
They both like black women. They both like flashy cars, gaudy jewelry,
yep.
Making money, not working, cursing all the fucking time, big ass meals. They're the same motherfuckers. They're the same. They're absolutely the same. I remember this Italian dude, Tony, I used to play poker with. We act just alike, and I would tell him that shit all the time. Like, we the same.
Yeah.
I know you talk that shit, you moolies and all that bullshit. Yeah. What Biggie say? They call blacks moolies. Think it's cool to smoke woolies. Fuck without rubbers. Mm. They specialize in killing wives and grandmothers. Like, they the same. They really the same as us.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's
I got a friend of mine that I grew up with since I was like 17, 18. My boy Martino. He from fucking Broad in Oregon. 13th in Oregon, like his grandparents' house is like 13 whatever Oregon Avenue. They live on Oregon Avenue. You can walk from, you get off the L.
Yeah.
I mean, off the sub. They fucking house is the first house you see once you cross the park, and it's like just like us.
Oh, it was
all his friends same way, just like us.
I remember Mr. Benny. He was Italian. His son moved into the crib after he had passed or whatever. He had left from when we was younger, but he had came back around. And they Italians, and he like the Gotti's, like Gotti's, from the television show.
Growing up Gotti.
Or the Jersey Shore. Like, he one of them Italians.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the fuck is up, man. Like, he one of those. So, what'd you say?
Weed.
Yeah, exactly. One of them. The tan, darkest
GTL,
shit.
GTL, Gym Tan Laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a situation.
He got shot at a car. What they call them when you get in the shit in a car? Road rage situation.
Shit.
They cut each other off, whatever, whatever, whatever. Long story short, that he get out to go fuck boy up. Boy gets out the car
with a stick,
with a Desert Eagle.
Oh, shit.
Hit him in his hip. Hit him in the back of his hip. And it blew off the bone was exposed. And they had to do a skin graft off of his back to his fucking, his hamstring. To, like, you know what I'm saying? And he had like staph infection. Like, he almost died behind that shit. And I remember, like, when he finally got like healed enough to where like he was outside and shit. Remember me, Ross, or whatever. He seen him and we was talking to him. He was just like, yeah, man, fucking dude gets out the fucking. I'm thinking we get out, we got the fucking mix. And he gets out the fucking gun. Like, oh, you're a pussy, dude. And he fucking shot me. You believe that? I remember Ross was like, yeah, you got out with that. Because he was one of them diesel Italians.
He's
like,
3,000 push-ups a day.
He's like, you got out with that husky Italian shit.
Said, oh, no, I'm going to have to clap him.
Nigga put a hot one in your ass. But yeah, man, he was one of them. And he would sit around us and, like, outside of the voice and the annex, it's the same person. You like the same shit, get into the same shit. Yeah. They the same people, same shit.
Because the inner city sensibilities is what it is.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that, like, your culture is more shaped around, like, who is your friend group? Who's your peers? Who do you identify with more so than just your color of your skin? Like, because if you take the fucking South Philly Asians, half of them blacker than me and you. Yeah. Like, they nigga all day long. Like, because culturally, that's what they assimilated to. They didn't choose white. They chose black because they're darker-skinned Asians, and they just identify with the black culture more than the white culture. They went the opposite way. And I know you hate them.
Yeah. I remember my one age homie I'm actually okay with. I wanted to get some car work done. And he was like, yeah, my homie, he do brakes and all that shit. So he gave me the number. And I'm talking to him. Swear to God, the whole time we was on the phone having conversations, I just assumed it was like a nigga. You know what I'm saying? So tell you how crazy this shit was. I pulled up to his shop. Now, you know my voice and the way I sound.
Right.
And I'm listening to him on the phone. So I just assumed he was black. So when I pull up to the shop, Asian boy walk out. I'm like, yo, I'm looking for Vivo. He was like, yeah, that's me. And I'm like,
you found him.
And I'm like, oh, damn. I was, we was talking on the phone, Matt. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, damn, I thought you was black. He was like, crazy part is, bro, I thought you was white. I'm just like, I'm like, Philly really is a gumbo of cultures.
Talk about juxtaposition. Yeah.
Neither one of us thought we was the what the other one was.
I expected a white man to roll up in an IROC Z28.
Yeah. Like, had we not fucking, like, figured that out, we'd have walked right past each other. Stupid as shit.
Oh, God.
But, what else went down this week? Oh, the Oscars.
The Oscars, man.
The Oscars popped. Do you care about Oscars?
I don't give a shit.
What's funny is I always find it hilarious that black people don't care about these trophies when they aren't winning them. But then when they win them, it's the greatest fucking day ever.
Just want to thank God.
Yeah.
Thank my barber. Yeah. My chiropractor. Thank everybody under the sun. So real quick, stuff that we care about from the Oscars.
Okay.
Takeaways. Jamie Foxx won his second Oscar for Soulful Best Animated Picture.
Right.
That's great because I hope that he can now get off the schneid and all this scrambling ass shit that he is doing.
Yo, no bullshit. It might have been you that I saw say that on Twitter.
He and looks he is scrambling.
I really like start like he got billboards for like betting, like bet, like MGM and shit. Then he's like doing commercials for like fucking
insurance companies.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yo, what the fuck is like? Jamie Foxx is on every little thing right now.
He got a bullshit show on Netflix right now. It's awful.
I didn't click on it.
I watched 3 episodes.
It looked cheesy.
It is.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And he's playing every character.
Oh, really?
It's bad.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jamie in a multi-character situation.
It's terrible.
Somebody the other day said, what was the role? Oh. Somebody was like, and they was giving her hell, but I'm like, yo, I ain't gonna hold you. She got a point. She was like, Tyrese could have played Ray, but Jamie Foxx couldn't have played Jody in Baby Boy.
Hell no.
And I was, and people was like, what, bitch, you crazy? Jamie Foxx, one of the best actors ever. And I'm like,
I wouldn't have believed him.
I'm like, she got a point in what she's saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would definitely.
And I think it's because Tyrese is like kind of like a bitch ass nigga that he was believable in Baby Boy.
He just played himself.
Like, this nigga's amazing in this shit. Like, he a scumbag that don't work and fuck other bitches and beat his girl. Like, this shit is believable. But I'm like, yeah, yo, I couldn't have seen Jamie Foxx playing.
Hell no.
You know that role was for Tupac.
Yeah.
Baby Boy, but you know, of course, he passed away and shit. But I don't know if Jamie could have done Jody. I don't know.
Now, motherfucker Jones, on the other hand, that was tailor made for Jamie Foxx.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm gonna be your murder consultant.
But you know who was excellent in Baby Boy that gets no credit?
Snoop.
No.
Oh,
Omar Gooding.
Oh, he was all.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was all it. Hold your head up, little nigga.
Blast! he was believable as shit in Baby Boy. So, but I saw that the other day. Jamie couldn't have played Jody, but Tyrese could have played Ray.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that take. That's actually not wild.
It's not wild. I was like, she actually has a point.
I see wild takes 17 times a day on Twitter. That's actually not one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully Jamie now, he got a second Oscar. He can get off the schneid, stop doing his bullshit projects, and go back to doing some real cinema. Because that Gas Station Dick Pill movie on Netflix wasn't it neither.
Yeah, that joint wasn't that
great. He's on a bad run. Like, he about to get the Razzie for the worst actor ever. Like Eddie Murphy said, he was on Mark Maron's podcast, and he was like, yeah, what made you like stop, you know, doing movies for a while? He said, well, you know, I kept getting these Razzies. He said, I think they had gave me a Razzie for like the worst actor of all time. He said, at that point, I knew I needed to go sit down and be a dad.
That shit real, man. Like, picking the right role is essential.
All motherfuckers see 20 million?
Yeah.
I'll be there. When we start shooting tomorrow, I'll be there. Don't worry about it.
How many millions? All right, bet.
I'm pulling up.
But Daniel Kaluuya won.
Won Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting Actor.
Daniel said, well, if I'm not the lead actor and Lakeith's not the lead actor, who is?
Yo, I swear to God, when I saw they were both nominated for Best Supporting Actor, I'm like, so who led the fucking movie then?
Apparently the boy that we hate, the FBI agent, apparently he was the lead.
Nah, like I was shocked by that.
But they said that there was a strategy to when they did it. They said that they knew that they could get them both accepted because they looked at the field and said, we can definitely get them both accepted to where they'll both get a nomination for Best Supporting Actor, but we may or may not be able to get them registered for Best Actor nomination because of Nomadland and whatever the fuck else that was.
Now, what would make them eligible for best actor as opposed to best supporting
actor? Well, they're saying that the field for best supporting actor was smaller this year than best actor. So softer they just went to the softer field to almost like get one of these niggas going to win this shit. Like, because we know we have one of the best movies that was out, even though it was wasn't that good of a movie. It was a 7 out of 10 or you know what I'm saying? 7.5 out of 10 like we talked about on our first OT. But it was better than a lot of the other shit out there, and their performances in those roles were better than anything that was out there.
I guess I'm about to have a wild take. Lakeith was better as Daniel O'Neill.
Yeah, because he embodied a fucking weasel.
Yeah, like he was better in that role than Kahlua was in the Fred Hampton role. If we being honest,
I think that's not a take I disagree with. I just think that the Fred Hampton character is more powerful and it cut through more than the whatever the fuck the rat god name was. But I think the Fred Hampton
William O'Neill.
Yeah, the Fred Hampton character cut through more. So I think that they was like, all right, let's give it to Daniel. But both of them are better than Michael B. Jordan, which is the most important thing here. To bring it back to that argument.
Michael B. Jordan got some new shit about to come out.
On the 30th. They've been promoting this shit since January.
It's Tom Clancy, ain't it?
Yeah, Tom Clancy on Amazon. Yeah. And I'm going to be right there watching it. As soon as it drops, Thursday night, I'm going to be right there. Waiting on him to be Wallace as Tom Clancy's Last Soldier or whatever the fuck.
Yesterday,
this movie is.
A John dropped on Bleacher Report was like, "What is the greatest sports movie ever?" And the 8 movies that they had on there, Creed was one of them. And I'm like, "How the fuck did Creed get in this?"
I'm like, as ridiculous as Rocky is, and we just talked about Rocky the other day, it's a far better movie than Creed.
Yeah, of course.
They like rescued him from like the jungle in Nicaragua, like fighting for $8. Yeah. And then he became world champion on Creed.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck am I talking about?
On Creed. Like, this nigga's like boxing in a speakeasy.
Yeah, I don't know why I just drew a complete
world blank. Champion.
I thought you was talking about Rocky. No. Say what? Yeah, I couldn't understand it. Creed low key might not be top 5 boxing movies.
Hell no. Fucking, like, the boxing movie genre, it just works. Like, we've seen it time and time again. Million Dollar Baby. What was the one that Jake Gyllenhaal did a couple years ago?
Southpaw.
Southpaw. They all make money. Like, you shoot them for a little bit, you make a 3 to 5X. Like, it just works. But with that being said, Southpaw is a far greater movie than fucking Creed is.
You know what's my favorite boxer movie? Gladiator.
Which one is that?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, good movie.
You ever seen that? Cuba Gooding and the White Boy? They were like underground. Remember Tommy Boy? The dad, Big Tom Callahan? He was like the drug lord of the underground or whatever. And he had an underground fight club that these motherfuckers, they were in high school. And they were fighting in this underground fight club. And then it was a good-ass movie. That's my shit, though. Really, really good.
So just to run through some of the other Oscar stuff. Best Picture, Nomadland won. Can anybody tell me what the fuck Nomadland is? They got a 94% on Metacritic and a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Some white lady that wanders around in a van through nowhere America, pretty much.
A white lady that does what?
Wanders around in her own van through nowhere America.
Got it. All right. So that was that one. That the field was Trial of Chicago 7. I like that movie a lot. The Father with Anthony Hopkins. Minari.
That was Sacha Baron Cohen, John, right?
Yeah, Trial of Chicago 7. That joint was dope. Mank, I never heard of. Promising Young Women, Judas and the Black Messiah, and Sound of Metal. I've only heard of 3 or 4 of those movies. Best Actor, Anthony Hopkins won for The Father. Anthony Hopkins is a you know, a
Anthony Hopkins still winning Oscars?
Anthony Hopkins is the man. Also nominated in that category, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace, for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Riz Ahmed, Sound of Metal. Gary Oldman, for Mank. Steven Yeun for Minari. Again, never heard of Minari or Mank. Best Actress, Frances McDormand for Nomadland. So they were consistent through the categories, Best Picture and Best Actress.
This white lady killed it.
White lady did her fucking thing. So now I have to watch Nomadland.
I don't have to watch
Nomadland. Carrie Mulligan, Promising Young Woman. Don't know what that is. Viola Davis from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Love Viola Davis. Andra Day, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Good movie. That's on Hulu right now. Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman. I don't know what that is. Best Supporting Actress, Yoo Young Yeon for Minari, winner. Never heard of the movie. I had no idea. Best Supporting Actor, Daniel Kaluuya. Best Director, again, consistent through the categories. Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, winner. Original Screenplay, Promising Young Woman won. Adapted Screenplay, The Father won. Animated Feature was Soul. Documentary Feature, My Octopus Teacher. You heard of that? Have you heard of any of these documentaries? Time. Crip Camp.
And I'm a documentary person.
The Mole Agent.
No.
Collective. No. I've heard of none of this shit.
Because they're you're never going to turn that on and see fucking, what was the big huge on?
Oh, Hip-Hop Uncovered. Hip-Hop Uncovered.
You're never going to see that. Like, I watch that type of shit.
All right, so documentary. Oh, that was International Feature, Another Round was the winner. I haven't heard of none of these movies. Editing, Sound of Metal. Cinematography, Mank. So apparently it's a very beautifully shot movie. Cinematography won for Mank. They beat Nomadland, Trial of Chicago 7, Judas the Black Messiah, and News of the World. Original Score, Soul also won that award for Original Score. Over the Five Bloods, Mank, Minari, and News of the World. Production design, Mank was the winner also. So again, going back to the cinematography and the set shit, consistent through the categories. Costume design, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom won. Visual effects, Tenet was the winner. Tenet, for those of you who have not seen Tenet,
Who's in that?
John David Washington.
Right, okay.
Tenet is the best worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I have no, to this day, I watched Tenet 7 times.
Okay.
I have no fucking clue what's going on.
Okay.
It's literally like the Upside Down from, it's like the Upside Down meets Inception.
Okay.
It's like an alternate reality universe that's running parallel to the existing universe. And you can go through portals to reach the parallel universe where everything travels in reverse.
Mm. I think it's not supposed to make sense on purpose.
I think that has to be it. My bad. No, yeah, I think that has to be it. Because it does not. I've watched it 7 times in its entirety. And through those 7 times, I rewinded it like, all right, so what happened here? So he looked at the bullet and then the gun went like what? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay.
But it's beautifully shot. It looks great. I watched it 7 times. I have no fucking idea what's going on with that. Sound. The Sound of Metal was the winner. Makeup and Hairstyling, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Original Song, Fight for You, Judas and the Black Messiah was the winner. Live Action Short, Two Distant Strangers. Documentary Short, Colette was the winner. Animated Short, If Anything Happens, I Love You, winner. I have no idea.
Yeah, you're just saying
I'm just shit, saying shit at this point. I have no connection to any of this.
No.
So that was the Oscars.
Were people there?
Yes.
Okay.
Her showed up looking very beautiful. Apparently her debut album is coming out soon, even though she has.
Who hosted the Oscars?
I have no fucking clue.
Who hosted?
I think they did it like last time. It's just like a roulette of people.
Okay.
It's digital.
Are you looking for who hosted?
I'm looking for who hosted. No host at the 2021 Oscars.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? And there's think pieces about why there was no host.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was that. So that was the Oscars, man. So, you know, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Judas and the Black Messiah, Soul, all picking up multiple awards through different categories. So shout out to that for the black representation at the Oscars. I got
what else we got over there?
Got nothing else on the Oscars. Shout out to Young Thug and Gunna. They actually bailed out about 30 people from Fulton County Prison for nonviolent offenses over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They just went and hired a bail bondsman, got an attorney, examined some recent cases that people had. Not anybody that they knew, just went through, just arbitrarily just bailed people out. They had Fox, I think 2 news coverage was there, catching the people coming out of jail or whatever like that. So that was just cool, just something that they just up and decided like, hey, let's go ahead and do this. Right. And they just did it. And that's the type of like community leadership and community activism that we need, which is like real effective change. People putting their money where their mouth is and going out here and helping people that need it. There's no reason people should be sitting in jail for $1,000 bail for weed and shit like that in 2021.
Shout out Young Thug. His album is pretty decent. I started getting into that.
He put out the deluxe the other day.
Shout out to Gunna. That's my man. Aunt Gunna. Forget that though. Okay. I know what I want to talk about.
All right.
Because I saw you in the middle of the shit the other day. Applying pressure.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Because I'm sitting here racking my brain like, what happened the other day on social media? So, Someone tweeted.
Son.
I didn't know. Okay. Hey, son. Is applying pressure spending money?
Yes.
And that just took on a life of its own.
Yeah, it just went everywhere.
For all of the people who aren't hip, applying pressure is like the new thing in like young urban black woman culture. Attention.
You need to apply pressure.
The greatest one I saw was, I don't apply for jobs.
I apply pressure. So I'm definitely not applying.
I'm definitely not applying pressure. I don't apply for jobs. But
so, you know, in Negro Twitter, this exists. It's basically
real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Come right back. You know what you just made me think about? I stumbled onto white Twitter and white Instagram the other day. Do you know how?
How?
My weight loss picture went viral like
everywhere.
Listen, I want to say this real quick. We're going to get back to this applying pressure shit.
They using you to sell shit.
Sell everything, my nigga. I saw that picture being used to sell keto meal plans, weight loss teas.
Meal preps.
Fucking, I saw one joint that was like about HIV and AIDS and fighting all.
Dr. Sebi says you got to get rid of the inflammation and kill the disease. I'm
like, what the fuck is going on?
All of the captions was tall as shit.
All of the captions was tall as shit.
32 hashtags.
So everybody started adding me and sending me the shit like, yo, I don't know if you know, but this shit is here. Somebody in Brazil posted that shit, selling some shit. So I had all these motherfuckers from Brazil, Tango K Quietas, to add me all this shit. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck y'all are saying. I got like 1,000 followers off of that shit in the last couple of days. So my DM was just bombarded with just, you should see some of the DMs I got. Everything you can think of. Freaky, whole shit, the funniest shit. One motherfucker hit me was like, hey man, I'm a fat Brazilian and I'm trying to do what the fuck you do. I'm like, what the fuck does that, like, why are you telling me this?
Let me preface this by saying,
it's been nonsense. But anyway, you know, you know, I'm a man. So you start seeing women and they just like, I seen some white women that was like, oh, you're a handsome chocolate man. I'm just like, what the fuck is going
this
on?
What's going on over here?
I went on this one.
With Beth.
With fucking Colleen and shit. I clicked on her page and went up to another. You know how you just kind of go in a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I ended up on like white Instagram. And this one white woman's page I was on, she got like a real nice house. She lives in East Hamptons, New York, real nice house. She got the new GLS 450 Benz truck or whatever. And she had a post on her page where she was like, springtime means it's time for a new bag, ladies. And she posted a Michael Kors bag. Mm-hmm. And all these white women on the comments with the hard eyes, oh my God, girl, I love it. And I'm just like, white Instagram is kind of lit. I'm like, they ain't wasting money on me. I'm like, this shit is crazy. She had a $90 bag on her page. And women was going ham with the hard eyes and the fire emojis. I'm like, yo, white Instagram is nuts. I was like, this shit is nothing. I'm like, everybody got nice homes and not wasted fucking bread. I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. But you made me think about that because that shit went viral and I ended up on white Twitter and white Instagram. So back to Negro Twitter.
Yeah, so Negro Twitter...
It's just so funny, the differences.
Yeah.
Somebody the other day was like, I wonder what they doing on white Twitter. I'm like, they having a ball over that motherfucker. Trust me.
That's non-problematic. Yeah. Nobody getting shot.
Ain't no problems. Ain't no arguments.
Ain't no Philly 911 pages over there.
Ain't nobody dissing nobody, coming up to nobody's house, throwing no bricks.
Just practical jokes and shibes puppies.
Yeah, and cats dancing and shit. Yeah.
Just having cats with hats on.
Cats with hats just having a ball. But yeah.
So meanwhile, over on Negro Twitter, San posed the question, does applying pressure mean spending money? And like they always do at this time, a bunch of women started lying for no reason at all. And they start writing all of these thesis statements. But some women kept it real. Rye was like, it doesn't absolutely have to mean like you giving me money because I make my own money. But time, attention, and gifts cost money.
Right.
So, yes. So, to answer that question, yes. And then she's like, I hate when y'all start lying like this. So, that was like my first...
To spend time costs money.
It costs money. Because you could be doing something else where you might be making money.
Did you see the bull on Judge Mathis that... He went to work on his wedding day?
Yeah. He said, hey, man.
He said, she answered the phone.
The day before, we had got into it, and then I had went to work.
He said, the job called me in. I was like, yo, I'm going to go to work.
He said, I didn't know we were still getting married, yo, so I went to work.
I went to work on my wedding day.
But I still do want to marry her.
Yeah.
But I was at work. That he said, hey, man, you had to work.
She didn't answer the phone. I figured, oh, she got something else she doing.
I worked this OT, picked this shift up.
Yeah.
So there's women in his mentions, you know, his quote mentions, writing all these thesis statements, and y'all always think everything boiled down to money and blah blah blah, and it means time and attention and this and this, and it's just like, sis, how I'm supposed to do that when I'm juggling 9 bitches? Right. Like, I just met you. What is all, like, what are you talking about? Take this $80 and get out my face. Like, I'll see you when I see you. See you when it's time for some more sex. Like, what do you mean?
Yo.
So you know, that shit just took on a life of its own. It went, like, Philly viral, and then I seen people from, like, the UK on it and shit like that. And it's just crazy how, we talked about it for the last couple of weeks, how disconnected men and women are on what means what. And, like, even down to, like, the jargon and stuff that we're using, like, because you had literally out of 60-some-odd tweets that I saw at the time, probably 50 of them were women telling him, no, it doesn't mean money. The other 10 that were telling the truth was a combination of men and women, like, yes, that's absolutely what it is. And basically what it comes down to is, it's a clever way to beg, because every single time some celebrity bought a girlfriend a car or a chain or a watch, yeah, or whatever, y'all in the comments, oh, he applying pressure. So how does it then not mean money when it applies to you and your dating life?
Right.
I'm confused. I'm trying to get some understanding, man.
Some understanding, man.
I do not understand what it meant. So I need some understanding.
Understanding, man, is never not going to be funny.
It's a staple now. Thank you, Quando Rondo.
We're going to get sued, but I'm putting it on a shirt. I don't give a 100%. Fuck. I need some understanding, man.
So it's like one of those cases where it's like men and women are far apart on something. Yet again.
All the time.
Yet again. And it just further just like digs the chasm out of miscommunication between men and women.
Yeah.
Because y'all are lying.
Yeah.
Y'all, why don't, and like, if y'all want somebody to buy you something, just say it. Like, why, like, you lying is not helping you get what you want. What's your take on the situation?
What, the terminology is just strange.
It's so niggery.
It's so niggery. That's a perfect way to describe it. It's just so niggery. Yeah.
Y'all done slanged yourself into some bullshit.
I remember the girl I worked with was like, like, I she was like, we was like talking shit, but it wasn't like serious, but you know how talking shit with niggas can always go like left.
Turn into a shootout.
Yeah.
In front of Piggly Wiggly.
And she was like, something, you saying all that. It's Friday. Did you crack Cash App your lady so she could go get this, that, and the third? And I'm like, me and my lady got a joint account. Fuck, I got Cash App before. And motherfuckers like, oh. And I'm just like, it wasn't even like a, it's like, it wasn't no stunting shit, right. But it's just like, huh?
She already has access to the funds.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but people have this thing now, like we always talk about. Y'all know what the fuck going on. Like, everything.
Yo, we got to make a reel where we just doing dumb shit.
And y'all know what the fuck going on. I thought that's actually interesting.
The shit going to go viral.
Yeah.
$8. Y'all know what the fuck
y'all
going on.
Y'all know what the fuck
making
going on.
Making eggs. Y'all know what the fuck going on.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Me swiping it for overtime. Y'all know what the fuck going on. Yeah. That's funny as shit. Real talk. But it's like, nah, we have this thing where it's like everything has to get documented and shown the fuck off. And it's just like, to the point where, let's keep it a buck. I know this because speaking with women who, here's the thing. When women are cool with you, they'll tell you everything about their friends, their sisters, all that shit. Women be out here buying their own gifts.
And saying a man did it.
Yeah.
Mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah. Big mental. Yeah.
Definitely need some Zoloft.
Like big tobacco. like big mental. Yeah.
Yeah, the hookah smoke has penetrated the membranes, and now the brain is corroded and corrupted.
You got the same thing Cochran had. Like, yeah, like it's going left. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. Like, you got some type of cancer, like in the brain. You have to. For you to think about how hard you work. and how much shit you do. Yeah. Like, I work hard as fuck. So I go buy some sneaks or a motherfucking new whatever. I bought these.
I did this.
Like, Ron Isley. I did this. Like, I'm not about to lie on no mythical, mysterious being that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I know, because it's the truth. Women will really go and buy their own bracelet, their own flowers, their own food.
Yeah.
And
I'm so spoiled.
Food.
Bae always looking out.
Bae know how to keep me smiling. Just anything.
He's still applying pressure, even after he got me.
With boneless Domino's wings. It's just like, huh?
That's sweet chili.
Is that Jack Daniels? Or that, like, you don't have to do this, but that's just the world we live in. Yeah. So every little thing gets documented as applying pressure, but to what level? You know, what level of pressure was applied to you today, sis? Yeah. Oh, my man did this, that, and the third. Oh, man, these bitches got to get it together.
Get on your level.
Yeah. Y'all know the vibes, like y'all gotta get on my level. Y'all know what the fuck going on. So it's just wild to see it. And you mentioned this, and it got a lot of retweets because I retweeted it. I saw it blew up. Twitter was the last genuinely cool app.
Yeah, it was the last one. You could be yourself. You could pop shit. You could fucking grind people up. You could give people the credit they deserve for being assholes and idiots. And now you can't.
It's gone. Twitter is finished.
You know how many people I know whose Twitter page got suspended or deleted in the last 3 months?
I'm one of them.
Like,
for calling somebody retarded.
Not even. Calling them he-tarded.
I said retarded, but I tried to, I said it, you know what I'm saying? But I tried to like delete it and go back.
Yeah, like my homegirl Tara come popping back up with a new page with her name spelled backwards. I just put LMAO. No. Like, yo, they suspend you for anything.
Anything. On Twitter. Meanwhile, Twitter porn is running wild.
Listen, I'm following that Jesse the Clown page. Uh-huh. All he do is retweet porn on my page all day. Like Famous Ramadan, cool out.
Yeah.
I want to see the porn, but not right, like,
yeah.
I need 15 more days. Comment the fuck down.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Crazy.
So it's like the standards and practices, the trust and safety team from Twitter got some issues.
Yeah.
And y'all need to, like, it's almost like trust is over here and safety is over here. They have separate departments, like fucking Joe Banner and Howie Roseman was back in the day. They on opposite ends of the fucking NovaCare Center. And y'all need to meet and come to some identical standard of how we gonna handle this going forward.
Yeah, but the applying pressure just completely goes, it just throw that in the pot with everything that's wrong between men and women and women and men in 2021. It's like, how about I just like you and want to spend time with you?
Yeah.
And want to take you out or want to see you smile.
Yeah.
But if I don't
eat your ass down Penn's Landing with some white jeans.
Or
on.
Eat your ass in the Dave and Buster's bathroom. Whatever. But my thing is, why is like applying pressure a level thing to where it's like, if I don't buy you a Range Rover, I'm not applying pressure.
It's wild, man.
I work at Pico, man. I can't buy myself a Range Rover. The fuck? So it's just like, it just is nuts. It's like everything is a competition.
Yep.
Essentially. Yep. That's what it's become.
It's a competition with the friends and family, the peer group, then Instagram at large, and then it's the aspiration to be like the it girls or whatever.
Right,
like that.
Right.
So it's like multiple levels of mental illness. And at no point is anybody like leaning in like, yo, you know nobody gives a shit, right?
I don't understand how y'all have so much CTE with no physical.
Never got tackled by
you got no downs under your belt.
Jack Tatum never tackled you.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. You had zero carries in the game.
Zero carries for 0 yards.
You have this much CTE. This shit is mind-blowing. It's crazy.
I've been saying it for 3 years, man. I'm a pioneer in this. Poverty is driving people crazy. Like,
I think so.
Going without and not having, but then also subsequently seeing the 1% lifestyle being thrown in your face on Instagram has caused people to think that this is normal, and it ain't.
We talked about it yesterday because one of the ladies in my job was talking about the PPE loan and all of this shit that everybody's doing. And then she's like, I don't get it. She said she went to King of Prussia and she was like, the line for King for Louis Vuitton was around the joint. The line for Gucci was around. She said Fendi. And she's like, I just don't understand it because she's from down south. And she said once she got put on, like, what was going on? She was talking about motherfucker from down where she from, and they got the PUA and the STEMI and the SBA and the PPP. She was like, one nigga she know got, like, 55 grand. She said he went and got two fucking cars. He bought a chain. She's like, he got a big-ass diamond chain. The chain say 18th Street. He not even from 18th Street.
Yeah, Meek Mill got an 18th Street chain, so you know.
She was like, he got a shiny 18th Street chain. We like, you're not from 18th Street. Man, the fuck you worry about where I'm from? This shit shiny. She like, Matt, they losing their fucking minds out here. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, what it is the fact that these, not all of them.
Yeah.
Because there are people who have done okay. We ain't even got front on it. This is the Patreon. We keep it a buck. There are a lot of people in the city, successful in the city, who ain't been this damn successful.
Oh, for sure.
I know. I've known y'all and been around for the last 10, 15 years.
All these boutiques popping up and all these.
Fuck the boutique.
All these platters. You were selling platters out the crib. Now you got a restaurant and all that. Motherfuckers got that SBA and that PPP.
I wasn't even going that far. I'm talking about like just niggas in general who legit. You would have on you. I've seen you in like a pair of Pradas, some American Cups back in the day when the Balenciaga Arenas was hot. I seen you in a pair of them. You'd be at Fridays or you'd be at Mikey's or you'd be at Big Bang's or doing your little joint. You would be driving a little Prix or a Monte Carlo. Or like it was never none of this. It wasn't. I know we like to act like that because you in the streets, but it wasn't that.
No.
This last year made motherfuckers who they think they've always been.
There's a retail. Do you realize that there's a retail blackout on Scat Pack Chargers, Hellcat Chargers, Track Hawks? Like, a Track Hawk is 100 bands because you can't buy one at retail.
Dog, the Demon is going off for like 140 right now. They 100 grand from the dealership.
Like, they didn't, like, PUA been going on so long. We on round three of PUA, right. Other people know it or not. Yeah. You had PUA OG, which was the $600 STEMI with the PUA.
Right.
That was the best PUA. PUA OG.
Yeah.
That was 39 weeks.
PUA OG.
Then you had PUA PUA Reloaded.
PUA OG is funny as
then
shit.
Then you had PUA Reloaded. PUA Reloaded was, it was supposed to be a $400 STEMI, but Pennsylvania didn't kick in their beans, so it was $300.
Right.
That lasted like another 19 weeks or some shit like that. That was the August to the end of November, beginning of December.
Right.
Now PUA Trace. PUA Trace now is the PUA with the 29 more weeks of PUA. So a combined, let me do the math right. 39 plus 29 plus 20. 88 weeks of PUA.
Yeah.
Damn near 2 years of PUA. On top of SBA grants dropping for a dime. On top of motherfuckers getting the SBA loans on the first initial John, 250, 300, 85,000. Motherfuckers catching 700Ks and all kind of shit.
Yeah.
With no documentation on all you got is an EIN and vibes.
Yeah.
Don't got nothing else. 700,000.
Dog. Funniest tweet I seen this week. So it was a joke going around. What was the worst date you ever been on? And Mayman was like, we can talk about that too. Mayman said, the worst date he ever been on, he took a bitch he knew was like a little too ghetto to like a fine steakhouse. He's like, she ordered a New York strip. She got it well done. The steak came to the table and she ate it like a taco. and then you know how you quote thread the tweets. Yeah. The next tweet on the thread was like, dead ass people. She picked it up with her hands and folded it like a taco. No knife, no fork, just vibes. I fell the fuck out.
Turned that shit right in the car. Turned that New York strip into carne asada.
Just vibes. I was fucking rolling off of that.
People are nuts.
Yeah,
man.
People are crazy. But yeah, no, this PPP shit is like, I was telling her, people literally who had like, not nothing, but never had
yeah.
40 grand, 60 grand. I like cut all the bullshit. Walking around with 60,000 on you is not normal shit. I know we like to all act like we're rich and it's in the third, but the reality of it is most people work jobs that don't even make 60,000 a year. So having 60 in a fucking little purse is not, I know we like to think that the Migos are regular people, but they're not.
They are one percenters.
They're one percenters. Walking around with that much money they're is not like fucking normal.
3 percenters when you really break it down.
Real shit.
Because 1% of the population makes 400,000 or more a year.
Right.
So they're all multimillionaires. So that would make them like a 0.3%.
Less
they're,
than that. It might yeah. be 0.3.
Yeah.
Like real shit. So I know we like to think that like, oh yeah, 60 in the joint is ain't shit. And it's just like, no, there are people who have that and it's cool.
Yeah.
There are people who don't have that who came into that. And the problem is people who never experienced that shit came into that and was just like, we gonna light this motherfucker on fire. Right. And people are like, nah, y'all tripping. You know, people. And I'm like, how are we tripping when the line at Louis Vuitton is around the damn mall?
For nine months.
It's listen, shout out to Ann. She works at Neiman Marcus. This is my homegirl. I call her whenever I would want a sneaker or leave with one something. I call Ange about, remember, I was like, I got to go to New York to get the goddamn S trainers. She was like, Matt, the store is empty. There's nothing in here.
Niggas start buying the Aquazora.
She said they bought all the ugly shit. We never sell the ugly
niggas
shit.
Niggas bought the Paul Newman golf shit.
The fucking Robert Graham.
The Robert Graham Jones. The Wild Jones. Niggas bought them.
The Rock Hall of Fame shirts. Yeah. Like, she was like, yo, the ugly shit got sold. Like, no one buys the ugly shit. She's like, the ugly shit normally goes back to the distributor. Like, the ugly shit got sold. She's like, there's nothing in the store.
Yeah, what y'all got from Calvin Klein? And
yeah.
Niggas buying anything.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, when you got all the fucking retail stores are empty of clothes, there's a recall or a fucking upcharge on fucking, like you said, Scat Packs, Hellcats, fucking Trackhawks. This shit is going on. Think about the watch market. Rolexes are double what they cost.
My cousin.
In fact, not to cut you off, because I wanted to get a GMT, the Pepsi bezel for my birthday. I was like, going to be like
21,000.
They're 9,400 when they come
retail,
out.
Yeah.
Them shits is over $22,000 right now, Doug. It's insanity.
Yep, I had a conversation with my cousin the other day. We don't talk a lot. We talk here and there or whatever. But my cousin called me the other day. Like, he saved up, like, a lot of money. Like, he got a new job. He's been working for, like, the last 3 years. He saved up, like, $65,000. So he like,
I'm not spending more than twice what the fuck a watch
you
costs.
You can't.
I'm not. It's I don't give a fuck.
But I'm a break down a joint for you that's even crazier where it actually made sense. Okay. So my cousin hit me, yo, cuz da da da. You know, I want hit me, call me when you get it when you free up. I want to talk to you about some watches. I'm trying to buy myself a watch. So I talked to him. He like, yeah, I saved some money. I saved like $65,000. Like, I got 50 grand to the side that I'm going to do an investment property with, and then I got like another 10 to 15 to play with. I was going to buy myself, you know, treat myself to something, buy myself a watch, whatever, whatever. He's like, you know, I know it's other shit out there, but I'm just like so much of a nigga at heart. Like, I'm just so beholden to Rolex. I got to get a Rolex. So he's like, yo, I'm looking at these watch prices. He's like, I'm thinking like I'm going to just walk in the store and get me like a GMT Master or a plain sub or whatever. He's like, nobody has nothing. So he's like, he's calling.
You're getting shit from Italy.
He's calling around all over the country. Like, he works for a company that like he travels or whatever. So he go back and forth between like up and down the Eastern Seaboard all day for work and shit like that. So he's like, yo, I'm in New York. He's like, I called a Rolex store. They like, oh yeah, we got, you could come in. There's no appointment. He's like, I'm calling because I'm thinking you need an appointment because of COVID. He said, I'm calling. Like, oh yeah, no, you could come in, but like, we don't have no inventory. So he's like, I go in here. It's like, they literally, all they got is like 36 millimeter Rolexes and some women's watches. There's nothing in there. Ain't no sport models. Ain't no yacht masters. It ain't shit. And I'm all like, yeah, bro. I'm like, welcome to the last 2 years. Like, it was bad and it got progressively worse. Anybody that had money pre-pandemic, like right before this shit happened, like if you had a spare 100 grand pre-pandemic, as soon as the pandemic hit, everything dropped price-wise. Mm-hmm. Shit shot down to like record lows, like 30-40% from where they peaked out at to where they was. Fucking Hawk Submariners that was selling for 18, 19,000, 12,000, 11,500, shit like that, because it was
all. And the Hawk is discontinued.
Discontinued. Yeah. So now they 20 bands, 19 bands.
That's just regular. Fuck a pandemic.
Yeah, it just you just can't get them. Yeah. So it's like whatever circulation is out there, you're paying 20 bands. So I actually sold my Hawk right before the pandemic for like 11 and some change or whatever the fuck like that. So just to turn around and then for the shit to peak at 24,000 and around July.
Yeah.
Because once the anytime a market bottoms out, the people that still have money at the bottom out have opportunity for shit to go up. So what do?
You buy the dip.
You buy commodities. Yeah. You buy the dip.
Right.
So like right now, all my stocks are that were crashing and I was talking about the last month are all going back up. Right. All my EV shit is up 10, 15, 20% today because they went as low as they gonna go. Right. They gotta go back up. So it's like same thing with these watches. So motherfuckers that had a spare 10 million, 15 million, they just bought all fucking watches, gold watches in particular, because on top of the craftsmanship and the value of Rolex, and the
gold is one of the hottest commodities out.
Gold is $60,000 a kilo.
Right.
So if you can buy a watch that is fucking has limited circulation like Rolexes do because they close their factories for 6 months.
Like if you
months,
got like a gold Daytona.
Nigga, that's the example I was going to use. Okay. Gold Daytona.
See, I know this shit a
gold
little bit.
Gold Daytona, green face, anniversary edition. Retail price, $37,500. My jeweler had one in February for $60,000. Me and Love going back and forth, yo, one of us should buy this joint, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, but you know, 60 is high, da, da, da. The shit is 90 now.
I can believe it.
It's April 27th. The shit is 90 now. So it's like, yo.
And it was 60 when?
It was 60 in February.
Jeez.
So I could have literally put that money out in February and then April, I'm up 30 bands. Just by, and any jeweler would have paid you the 90 for it. Just keep the plastic on it. Don't wear it. 2 months plus 30,000. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Shit like that is going on. Like rose gold in particular, because Rolex has their own rose gold that they make. It's called Everose.
Everose.
It's not the same color as like the AP rose gold is like, it looks kind of yellowish.
Me personally, if I have my pick of it, it would be the Everose Green Face 30th Anniversary Prezi. That's my favorite.
Best joint.
That's my favorite watch
retail
out there.
Retail price, 38,000.
I like the Wimbledon date just too on some regular shit.
Retail price for that watch about $38,000 right now. Cheapest one in the universe because I'm on a global marketplace. $53,000.
Are you talking about Chrono?
Chrono.
Yeah, yeah.
$53,000. I bought this Cardi from Chrono.
Okay.
I caught a steal on this. This joint was $9,000. I paid like $7,200 for it.
I ain't bad. I like that shit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
43mm joint.
Yeah.
Not the boneless one that everybody else got. But yeah, so it's like the commodity shit. Just,
I ain't gonna hold you. That skeleton. That shit looks so fucking nice, man.
Listen,
that's the drum you almost gotta like bust it down. Like you gotta go full nigger right. With an ER. Yeah, you gotta wow.
There's
that
a Gerard Peugeot skeleton that's beautiful.
Okay,
that's out. And there's a Piaget Polo S skeleton that they made that's crazy. And they both right around like 25 to 28,000, whatever. Like they didn't.
Yeah,
shoot
balloon.
The fuck up. They didn't balloon yet. But like the Cartier skeleton, them Jones is like 19.8 retail or some shit like that. They sold so many of them. Cartier bumped the price up to 25,000.
Yeah.
Like retail.
Yeah.
Like, so now when you buying one from an aftermarket, you at 28, 30.
I was about to say 36,
35. 20, 30, 32. At the height of it, I had a jeweler tell me 35 for one. I'm like, yo, this is a stainless steel watch with a limited complication. Like the whole thing with the skeleton shit is to expose the complication and the intricacy of the watch.
Right. The movements.
The movements. Yeah. If you don't have a complicated movement, then it's like, you really just got a see-through watch for real. But the shit looks so good that it's like, we're willing to spend all this fucking money on it. Fucking APs right now are 3X, 5X. Fucking stainless steel Patek, 5711.
Okay.
The one with the notebook paper, face, stainless steel, 40mm. They was 22.5 4 years ago, 95,000. Cheapest one in the world, 95,000.
The Royal Oak skeleton? Dog. I seen them prices the other day. I'm like, bro, what the fuck is going on, man?
Royal Oak regular skeleton is
80.
It's a buck now.
Yeah.
The stainless steel one.
Yeah.
The rose gold one.
That was the one I saw.
It's 150.
Dog, I saw that shit on Chrono the other day. It was 162. I'm like, damn.
So that means if somebody saw you one for 150, they did you a favor.
Yeah.
I'm going to look. Don't tell them I told you shit.
Don't tell
me 150.
Right.
Cash.
150, 160,000 for that joint.
The fucking, another crazy joint. My man, Weezy, Free Weezy. My man, Weezy, right before, like 2 years ago for his birthday, he bought himself the rose gold Chrono AP with the royal blue face.
Okay.
57,000. He bought it from Sean. 57,000. That same watch I saw a jeweler posted the other day, 125. This was 2 years ago. So that watch is more than double. That watch is like 1.2 times what it originally was.
Like, if you would have known at the beginning of the pandemic. And the crazy part is the watch.
2.2 times.
The watches, they come out retail, they'll go up a little bit. Like I said, them GMT Masters, I've been watching one for the last couple years.
You can get a GMT Master pre-owned, like one owner, like for like 14.5.
No, I'm saying like when they come out from retail.
I'm talking about the black ceramic one, the plain one, like 14.5.
Right. The Pepsi bezel or the Batman bezel or whatever, them shits come out, they 9,400 retail. You probably ain't gonna get one retail. You go on Chrono, I would see them for 11, 10, 8. Yeah. And I was like, yo, that's not wild to me.
I missed the drop.
I'm like, I was literally, I was like, I want to get one for my birthday. Yeah. I'm like, that's not wild to me. 11,000 ain't crazy for a watch that I'm going to have and wear, you know, whatever, whatever. And I ain't a crazy watch nigga. I don't need no bust down. But I'm like, I really, really enjoy the Batman and the Pepsi bezel. Yeah. So I was like going back and forth. Then when they changed the band on the new Pepsi bezel with the Jubilee, I'm just like, that actually looks better than the Batman with the fucking regular class. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, I think I want a Pepsi bezel. 11 ain't wild. Yeah. 12 ain't wild. 13 is like, all right, we in the teens. Right.
It's a real teen.
We in the teens now for some shit that costs 4 digits.
Yeah.
This shit done went from 4 to 5 and now it's in the teens.
Yeah.
So to double back and see in the aftermath of this pandemic where 22, that watch five is 22.7, 23.1 is like, bro, that's literally more than double what the watch costs.
Yeah.
That inflation off of just a year of the market going up and down and the fact that the factory closed is the most insane shit ever. Yeah.
I thought that like the Blueface Sky Dweller is one of the most coveted watches on the market.
I told you, I actually like the Blackface more than the Blueface.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
The Blueface is nice.
Blueface is nice.
But I like Blackface watches.
For whatever reason, for scarcity purposes, they produce less of the blue one. It became, the demand on that one was way higher than the others. So it was blue number one, black number two, white number three. You get a white one right now, 19,000. They was 14.4, you can go get one for 19,000 tomorrow from anywhere. So the blue one, when they first dropped, they was 20, people was paying 24 grand for them. My man that is in the music business bowl for 24 grand. And I'm just like, bro, this is a $14,000 watch. You're never going to be able to recoup that difference. Boy, was I wrong. The shit is 30,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
28.5, shit like that. And I'm just like, I don't even, there's not even no economics behind it no
for
more.
For stainless steel.
I don't even understand. The stainless steels, the retail price for the two-tone ones, they got the gold in them, 18-karat gold, the Rolexer band with the gold bezel, they cost more. They cost $17,800 opposed to $14,400, but they don't have no resale value, so they're selling at the regular price.
Yeah.
The stainless steel ones are selling for $15,000 more than what the fuck they cost.
Nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah, when you really think about it. Crazy.
But Rolex remade the fucking stainless steel. They use something called 904L steel now, and then they took all of these models that historically they only made in precious metal and made them in steel.
Right.
And they just shot through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
They did it to make the shit more amenable to the customer base, and people just use it as an opportunity to just make money.
Yeah. Crazy. Were there any other topics you wanted to throw out there?
We talked about the Oscars. We talked about Thug and Gunna. Dr. Umar. Oh, 15-year anniversary of Killer Season.
Oh, Lord.
15-year anniversary of Killer Season.
Why did I ask if we had more time?
Top 5 movie of all time from the top 5 episode. We got to do another top 5 episode, an updated one.
Okay.
A lot of the shit that we talked about, but post-2010, and I got a couple new categories.
Okay.
So we're going to do another top 5 everything episode on the regular page. Coming up soon once we get through these guests. But yeah, so apparently they paid $27,000 to make it. That had to include pressing and distribution.
Okay.
Because it's no way in hell that movie cost $27,000.
I can't see it.
Even in 15 year ago money, I just don't see it.
Knowing that you can make a movie for $27,000
and then make $400,000. We selling DVDs.
I told Kurt. Kurt thought I was joking. We should do a movie.
100%.
Yeah.
I did a movie with Kurt.
Did you?
I did a short film for Al when we was doing the music rollout.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We did a short film for like $7,000 or some shit like that. Like, it was like a 15-minute Streets is Watching type movie to introduce him to the audience, incorporated his music, all this old shit.
We got to get Kurt on the phone.
Yeah, we got to have a conference call. We got to get this together.
Chad Fain and Matt Cain starring, you know, y'all know what the fuck going on. I got it.
Blockbuster.
That would be the funniest film ever. Y'all know what the fuck going on. I'm with it.
I'm writing that down.
Yo, real shit. We got to get Kurt on the 11 line. Somebody patch Kurt in. Real shit. But I got nothing else.
Nah, I'm done, man. We appreciate y'all support and your patronage here on Patreon.
Always, man.
Make sure that y'all tell a friend to tell a friend. We are closing in on the 300 subscriber mark. Vast majority of everybody is on the VIP tier. We appreciate y'all. The month is going to be over soon. We need to knock out a live stream for these people.
Okay.
Try to get that done either like right at the end of the month or beginning of next month. But this Patreon is coming out. Hopefully we can get back in here, do another one at some point this week. Cause
you said Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. We're going to come back, do another Patreon.
Drop that like Thursday.
Drop that like Thursday, Friday, to get y'all through the weekend. Again, man, we appreciate the support. It's overwhelming, man. We love y'all. And the feedback that I've been getting from even from unlikely sources is that they like the Patreon even more than the other shows.
Jules literally was like, yo, the Patreon is y'all. He's like, the show is all that because it's like, you know, it's y'all being PC and handling like the topics is what's going on. But he's like, I like when y'all talk, man. Like, y'all get to going off and talking your shit, telling your stories. He's just like, yeah, no, the Patreon. He's like, that's y'all. That's perfect for y'all.
Yeah, the Patreon is it, B. Patreon. Yeah.
That's it, B. We out.
Peace.